Are you thinking about implementing your own smart home? Not sure of what you want to control or how to start? Do you want your smart home to respond to your voice like it does in the movies or television? Well, you found the right podcast, Tech Bites with Ron Netter. As a best-selling author, speaker, and YouTuber, he will help you explore the different options available. And now, here's your host, Ron.
Hi, I'm Ron Netter, and welcome to another edition of Tech Bites with Ron Netter. This time, we're going to do something a little bit different. And as you can see by the title slide, we're going to be working with VirtualBox. Now, if you've not heard of virtualization, don't worry about it. It sounds more involved than it really is. So what we're going to do is walk through the steps of what to do. And there's a lot of pluses to this. And let me take you over to a slide deck, and then you can see what got me to this point and why this is something that's not a bad thing to know about. Couple of advantages. Even if you're not in IT, knowing how to do more with one piece of hardware is a good thing. If you are in IT or want to be in IT, this is a way to help build up skills so that you can learn how to do server virtualization very close to what they do in the real world. And we're going to start out with an open source package called VirtualBox. But it lets you do more with less, and there's some other advantages. But let's go on to the slide deck, and you'll kind of see where we're going. Now, this is what got me started out. And this is, of course, we've got the computer that I normally work on. Now, I got the first Raspberry Pi when I started working with the Home Assistant. Well, and then I got another Raspberry Pi because of the open source voice system that I started working with. Well, then I got a third Raspberry Pi when I started doing the network attached storage area network, whatever you want to call it. And I had ordered my fourth and just hadn't gotten it implemented yet because I was trying to do a Raspberry Pi W, which is the little itty bitty board, and it's about this size container. And I just hadn't gotten back to it yet to work on it. Well, as you can see, I'm starting to get more and more Raspberry Pis, which I'm sure the Raspberry Pi Foundation loves, but there becomes a challenge with the number of power supplies and everything else. Well, step into VirtualBox. Now, VirtualBox is an application that sits on top of your computer. And the fancy term you're going to hear is something called hardware extraction layer. Now, what this does is it hides all the hardware down here from anything that's running in VirtualBox. So that, and this is true to varying degrees with your systems like VMware and that kind of thing. It gives it a standard platform here to work with. So if you have a VirtualBox that you created on one, or virtual machine rather, that you created on one system and go to another, then you just copy the virtual machine over and you don't have to reinstall drivers, which in Windows is, or not Windows, but in Linux can be a real pain in the tuchus. So what we start doing is you add a virtual machine. Like, so I'm getting ready to start moving one over, and then you can add another one and another one. And you see where this is going, because what this does is it gives you an option to where, especially for low impact systems, and let's face it, if it's running on a Raspberry Pi, for the most part, it's going to be low impact. Now, there'll be some things I probably wouldn't want to try to do under server virtualization, at least with using a PC as a virtual host. And that's going to be the things like storage area network, is that's going to be a little IO intensive, or at least it can be. And that's something I will look at. But there's things such as Home Assistant that I want to get it back into. There are, I'm probably going to look at that open source voice assistant that I was working with. And there's like Pi Hole, there's all sorts of things. But at some point, you can start having too many systems. And even if you don't have a significant other, there are times that you probably really, don't want to be bringing yet another computer home. So what virtualization does is it lets you take an existing computer, especially while you're prototyping things, and get a feel for it. And I'll tell you what, let's just go on and let's bring up VirtualBox so you can see a little bit of what I'm looking at. We're not going to get into it deep and heavy today, but let's go over here. And okay, there you go. You see the screen up now. So I've got a test machine up and running. And what I did, and this is where before I get too heavy into it, I want you to get a sense for what we're looking at, because if you want to follow along with me while we're doing some of this, I want you to have the opportunity to go out and get just a couple of things you're going to need. Depending on if it's a PC or a Mac, you're going to need to get VirtualBox. That's easy enough to download. Oracle's got a great website for that. Now, what I've gone and done, and we're going to go right into the system that I've got here, and I'm getting an echo back on the screen, so I'm going to rule that out a little bit. Now, you see I've got a external drive. Well, here I'm trying to tap on the wrong thing, and that's not going to work real well. So VirtualBox, there we go. Now it's going to work better. And what I've got, I bought a 240 meg roughly SSD off of Amazon, and I got a case for it. Now, do I need the rubberized protected case? No, but I wanted a case for it just because I was going to have to do something with it. So this way, I've got everything that's in VirtualBox in here. So if I have to move computers, then I can just quickly move VirtualBox and move on. Now, yeah, it's going to be a little bit slower than if I was doing thing on the native PC or Mac drive, but you can, I mean, it's a trade-off. This way you don't have to worry about filling up the drive, because as you build virtual machines, depending on what you're doing, you're going to fill up a drive. Just get used to that idea right now. It's going to happen. And if you run out of drive space, you can always create more. So what I've done is I've got several directories here. Now I've got the VirtualBox, what I'm calling platforms. Now what I went and did is I downloaded VirtualBox for the Mac and VirtualBox for Windows. That way I can go to any system that I want to use. And if they don't have VirtualBox on there, I can put it on there. Now you'll want to keep these manually updated so that if you are going to somebody else's system and you're using a newer version of VirtualBox on your system, you might have an issue, but this at least gives you a starting point. Now there is a portable version of VirtualBox that you can get a hold of. Now it's portable-ish, and here's why I'm saying ish. There's a couple of drivers that that VirtualBox has to have installed when it's running in portable mode. So if you don't have permission to put it in there, okay, you're not going to be able to run it, but at least it's a little bit lighter version in terms of having to physically install it on someone's drive. Now, there is a VirtualBox extensions pack, gives you all sorts of handy features like being able to remote console into a virtual machine or into VirtualBox. So it's at least a starting point. Now, I keep a directory out here called VirtualBox VM. So VMs that I'm working with or have built, they're out here. And if I go to a new computer that I haven't used this on before, I can import those in and use them just like they were before. I always keep a set of ISOs handy. And this is going to give you an idea of what we've got in store. And folks, we are going to have fun. Number one, I've got a Raspberry Pi ISO. It's not the one you would run on a Raspberry Pi, but it's Raspberry Pi-ish so that we can prototype systems on top of a Raspberry Pi. Now there's some other things that I'm going to be looking at, and I've got the ability to run Android as a virtual machine so that as we start showing some things in future videos, I'll be able to bring up Android natively instead of having to link in a phone. I'll just bring it up in VirtualBox. Now there are some options that we're going to need to look at. I've got Linux Mint, Linux Lite. I've got several Linux distros that I'm going to be working with as we see what's going on. But here's the kicker. If you want to work with Windows a little bit but don't want to buy the licensing, I found an open source version of Windows. It's called React OS. Now, I haven't even barely got into this one yet, but I mean, it is at least an option. Now, in all fairness, there's times that you may need to fire up a Windows system, whether it's Windows 8.1, Windows 10, even Windows Server. I'm building that option into my SSD so that I can do almost anything I want to. Now, granted, some of my VM disks are not going to be that big, but that's why for right now, this is a 240 gig. I may get it larger, but this may be due fine for right now because I don't plan on running a whole data center off this. So it's at least an option. And now you'll see Cloud Ready in here. Now that one I'm working with, I'm trying to get it where it's going to play nice. This is a way for you to have the Chrome OS up and running. It's about as close to running Chrome as you're going to get without buying a Chrome box. But another advantage of virtualization is you're going to be able to get a feel for if you want to try something in Windows 10 or if you want to look at Windows Server. Virtualization is going to help you at least get a sense of what's going on, because when I got into the IT game many years ago, this wasn't an option. So if you wanted to fire up something new, you either had to go buy another computer or you had to have multiple drives in there, and hopefully they were all the same size. So all you do is move the drive cable from one to the other, power it back up. Needless to say, it was a pain in the tuchus. But I wanted you to see kind of where we're going to be going in future videos. And so if you wanted to get an SSD, and I got one only because I'm going to be doing some traveling, and this way I don't have to worry about the drive bouncing around and the heads crashing on me. But this way I could take pretty much any computer that I've got with me, continue to work on things. And there, as we get into this, I'm going to show you how you can back up VMs. There's I've already seen two different ways. So that way, if something happens, you've got a quick restore point. And even though the app itself may have some options, that at least you see, you get more experience with it. And it's not a bad skill to know, really. It can be very advantageous, because that way it's, you know, one more bag in your tricks that you can see, or tricks in your bag. Sorry, I got the words turned around. So you can kind of see where things are going. But this is something that it is a very good thing for you to be familiar with how to doing, because that way as your virtual, as your smart home expands, you're going to be able to get a different way of doing things. And this way, if you do have several systems running and, say, heaven forbid, the computer you're running on crashes, if you've got the VMs either backed up to here or you're running them from here, then you just install VirtualBox on a new system, import the VMs, do the setup so you can copy what's already out here, and then you're back up and running. And that's one of the beauties of server virtualization, is you get away from having to get all the drivers in place for if there's a minor change in hardware, one less problem you're not going to have. So this is a sense where, you know, I wanted you to see where we're going to be going in some of the videos. So thank you for everybody who's been subscribing. I really appreciate that. And when you like the video, that means a lot to me too, because I'm just trying to make this as valuable as I can for you. So as you see this screen come up, once I've got the video up to YouTube, you'll see some other videos here that I have done, and you can see kind of some other things I've got going on and get an idea of where I can help you. If you don't see a video that is something you're looking for, let me know, because I want to make sure I produce content that's going to be helpful to you as well. So thank you very much for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Tech Bytes with Ron Nutter podcast. If you know someone who's interested in creating their own smart home, please share this show with them. Please subscribe on iTunes or Google Podcasts and leave us a review. Have questions? Contact Ron at questions@techbyteswithronnutter.com. He looks forward to sharing more incredible insights on the next episode.